Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The annual open enrollment for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act is underway. The deadline to sign up or update your plan on the federal government's healthcare.gov marketplace is December 15th. Enrollment began, by the way, on November 1st. Premium prices in some places across the country have gone down, sometimes by as much as 17%. That's not the case in South Dakota, however. Today, what you need to know about the Affordable Care Act and how it impacts you. We begin in our Sioux Falls studio for South Dakota Public Broadcasting with Lisa Carlson. She is Senior Director of the Sanford Health Plan. Lisa, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us right away, we have Judy McCarthy from Western South Dakota Community Action, and she's joining us from SDPB's Black Hills studio inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio. Judy McCarthy, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
All right, we're going to start a little bit with Lisa Carlson here. And Lisa, tell me, you know, it's the Affordable Care Act, the very basics. It's still the law of the land. They took away the penalties, the federal tax penalties for not having a policy, but it's still there. What are the basics that people need to understand about affordable care enrollment right now?
Well, right now, I think what's most important to know is that the clock is ticking, and that if you did buy a policy on healthcare.gov, you do need to return to healthcare.gov to make sure your information is updated and correct. And if you want to switch plans or do some window shopping to make sure you have the plan that best fits your needs, and best fits your budget, now is the time to do it. If you don't go to healthcare.gov and make any active changes, then the plan that you're in, you will be automatically re-enrolled into that plan.
Is that a bad thing? Is that something to look out for? Or are people going to say, like, yeah, I like what I have, I'm just sticking with it? Why would they go back? I mean, what are they going to find out if they go through the process to sort of re-enroll, making the choice again?
Well, by now, individuals who purchased a plan on healthcare.gov received letters from their companies telling them that what their increases are. And so if they feel like those increases are not enough, or they want to find a plan, or their needs of their family change, maybe they have empty nesters, maybe they are covering fewer children, so maybe they have changes in their own household that makes them want to re-look and reshop to make sure that they're getting the most affordable plan. Now, in South Dakota, there is only two health plans on healthcare.gov, and that is Avera Health Plan and Sanford Health Plan. If you need subsidies to help pay for your insurance, you do. That's the only place where you can get those subsidies is on healthcare.gov.
And who qualifies for the subsidies? Is that income-based?
Yes, it is income-based. Anyone from 100% of the federal poverty level to 400% of the federal poverty level, and that's actually for a family of four. Someone who's making at the low end at 100% of the federal poverty level, $25,000 a year. At the high end at $400,000, it's $100,400 a year for a family of four. So that's pretty upper middle class for a South Dakota family of four, if you're making over $100,000 and can qualify for subsidies on healthcare.gov.
All right. So you need to, before you go, you know, somebody is signing up for the first time, you need to understand things about your income and being able to document that and prove it. And then what else do you need to know before you sign up? Do you have to have certain papers in order, or, you know, what should you gather before you go to healthcare.gov?
Sure. Like I said, you can window shop without entering any of your personal demographic information, but if you want an accurate price, if you window shop, you get the retail price. But really, when you go to healthcare.gov, you're trying to see what subsidies you're eligible for. Those are tax-based subsidies. So we as a community and as a society fund those taxes. So if you want to take advantage of them, you do have to enter your Social Security number of you and any of your dependents. You have to enter your date of birth. You do have to click on some boxes. It's best to share information with the IRS and give the healthcare.gov that ability so that they're always getting the most up-to-date information about your income status so that your subsidies are accurate and you don't have to play catch-up any time later should you overshoot or undershoot your salary amount. Most people have consistent salaries, but if you have two part-time jobs and your hours fluctuate over the years, or you're maybe a seasonal worker with construction or snow removal, if you have fluctuations in your income, you have to visit that website frequently to make sure that it's reflecting and capturing your most current salary that you're aware of.
How do farmers do that? People with, you know, or small business owners whose salary could just, I mean, it's very hard to predict.
Right. It's probably best to underestimate rather than overestimate. And so that on the government side, so that you don't end up getting more subsidies and having to pay it back, basically. Okay. So you can update your information throughout the year, and that's the best way to approach it if you have fluctuations in income.
Judy, I want to bring you into the conversation. And first, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Western South Dakota Community Action and the populations that you work with.
Okay. Western South Dakota Community Action is funded by block grants. The community action programs were started in the 70s, and their main purpose was to distribute commodities. Here in South Dakota, we work with all of the Western South Dakota counties to distribute commodities. And we are the only navigator program in the state this year. So in past years, the four CAP offices across the state shared that responsibility. But this year, Western South Dakota Community Action has the grant, the Navigator grant for South Dakota. So we are the only Navigator program. The Horizon Clinics have certified application counselors who can help people enroll in affordable care insurance, or they can call us and we can help them.
All right. So the federal government cut funding for navigators this year. It was $60 million 2 years ago. It's down to $10 million now. Lisa, how does the whittling away of that funding, even here in South Dakota, potentially impact people finding the help they need to sign up and navigate that system?
Well, I know in South Dakota people enjoyed the navigators as an alternative to insurance agents. So depending on where you live, you may not have a local insurance agent to work with you that is certified to help you with your application process on healthcare.gov. So I think that in the absence of, if we don't have as many navigators in the state, it is important to reach out to a licensed agent, a certified agent, who's familiar with healthcare.gov and can help you navigate and find the plan that's right for you. On our website at sanfordhealthplan.com, you can actually enter your zip code and we'll find by radius a closest certified agent near you that you can call, even if they're not in your town. Maybe it's the closest town nearby you.
All right. Judy, let's talk a little bit about the work of a navigator and how you can assist people in finding their way through the marketplace.
Okay. We work with all income levels of people, low, medium, and high. Here in Western South Dakota, we have a lot of self-employed farmers, ranchers, and business people. We have a lot of seasonal workers who may work two or three jobs but not get an offer of health insurance from their employer. So we help them to pick a plan. Because we work from a grant, we're neutral. We look at both the Sanford plans and the Avera plans and determine which best meets their needs and then help them enroll. Many of our people either don't have the skills, computer skills, to enroll themselves completely or don't have the insurance knowledge to do it on their own. So they appreciate some insight and help, and we just help them enroll.
Judy, are you finding that when people look at the price, there's one reaction, and then when they find the subsidies, there's another one? Tell me a little bit about how, just the emotional process of going through this journey for folks.
It is truly an emotional journey. Yeah. Most of them are so afraid. I just talked to a woman this morning whose husband just lost a job, and their employer insurance ends November 30th, and she was in a panic when she looked at the cost of health care. And so she'll be coming in, and we'll do some different scenarios, try to project their income for next year, which is going to be the difficult part. And once they see the help that they can get with the premiums, most people relax and are usually very happy by the time they're enrolled. They're very surprised and very pleased with the plans. We have really good insurance plans here in South Dakota, both through Sanford and Avera. And so most people are very pleased. They come in with diagnoses perhaps of stage 4 cancer and can still get insurance. They come from all walks of life and all different situations that put them in this need at the time.
Hmm. Lisa, let's talk a little bit about prices, because across the country, the average premiums for a key plan offered on the exchange are dropping in 19 states. It goes up a little bit here, and it's important to realize that in some of those states where the prices are going down, these are places where there was really no one locally. The insurance company sort of abandoned the marketplace a little bit. But prices are going up slightly here in South Dakota. Tell us what to look forward to and why.
Prices are going up just because healthcare, fortunately, in our state is actually good. You have good access. You have good access to specialists nearby. Telemedicine is offered. We're very advanced in our state for offering telemedicine, access to acute care. On average, for Sanford Health Plan, the premiums went up on the marketplace about 5%. So some individuals, depending on the age and the plan that you bought, it might be less than that. Some it might be a little bit more. But that in the trend is a reasonable increase given that the people on healthcare.gov are using healthcare services. And so that's the certainty and the reassurance that you get when you have insurance is that you have, when you need it, you have help paying for your prescription drugs, you have help paying for your acute care visits or your lab draws when you feel sick, help paying for your flu shots.
Tell me a little bit about when we look at the prices in other states, and there's a comparison chart kind of looking at a benchmark plan, the second lowest cost silver plan is what they were comparing state by state. In South Dakota, that's around $550. Minnesota is all the way down to $327. Wyoming, it's $865. So why would something similar cost so much, you know, such a price difference in Minnesota versus South Dakota versus Wyoming? Help us understand that.
Well, I can speak to Minnesota, our neighboring state, more than Montana. Minnesota actually has a state-based exchange, and they were in a very catastrophic case the prior year. So while South Dakota's enjoyed stable markets, premiums have gone up, but at least they've gone up incrementally and in a budgetable manner, predictably in a manner. Minnesota was a very volatile market where the years prior, since 2014 to 2018, was very, very expensive. So they actually had to come up with their own solution when they recreated a reinsurance program for the companies there that provided some stability. That's the only reason those premiums went down. And they funded that through a provider tax. And so there was actually an additional tax that occurred in the state to help bring down those premiums. So South Dakota is just in a very, very different situation than it is in Minnesota. But we've also enjoyed that predictability, and it has not been a volatile market in the past few years, ever since the inception in 2014.
Explain provider tax. You mean the actual providers have
in
to
Minnesota,
pay?
They funded a reinsurance program to help bring down individual premiums on a program called MinSure, which is their version of healthcare.gov. They administer it differently. It's not a federally facilitated program. And so the providers and some other healthcare entities paid a tax, including the insurance companies in the state, paid a tax in order to bring down insurance costs.
So when we look back at how things were in 2014, though, that same plan was about $286, and now we're up to $557. So from 2014 to 2018, or 2019, I guess those numbers are, Lisa, tell me why that kind of increase.
In South Dakota, again, it's based on the pool of the individuals that you are insuring. And so we did see early on there was some pent-up demand, right? So individuals who had no health insurance before, because prior to the Affordable Care Act, you were underwritten. So if you were too sick to pass anyone's health criteria to even get insurance, you were going without insurance. And so when the Affordable Care Act passed, the gates opened and those individuals who may have been previously declined coverage were let in. So there was some of that, just from an actuarial standpoint, those individuals that were immediately in the risk pool. And then over time, always the push has been get the young and healthy in, right? Get the young and healthy in. Well, they're young and healthy. They don't feel like they need health insurance. And that's a challenge that all insurance companies and healthcare.gov across the nation continues to struggle with. Because the average age probably shouldn't be 46. The average age of that pool should probably be younger and be reflective of younger and healthier individuals getting with health insurance through healthcare.gov, but we don't think that that is the case.
Hmm. Judy, do you see people who walk away from it and say, you know, this is just something that I cannot afford? Are people making that kind of a tough decision, or are people choosing between keeping the lights on and keeping the health insurance premiums paid?
For the people that we work with, most of them are all choosing health insurance. They're very pleased by the tax credits. It becomes affordable to them. It's much less than they'd been paying on their own before through private plans. So they come away very happy with it. And most of them all choose to keep health insurance because it's better than paying a penalty that was assessed. And plus, they need the health insurance.
Right.
And I would add, again, the people who are buying it are the people who know that they're going to use it. And so, mm-hmm. again, the premiums are reflective of the populations that we serve. And individuals are buying it because they know they have health issues. I know that Judy just mentioned she's insuring one who has a diagnosis of cancer. That insurance company is going to pay for those premiums along with that individual for all those cancer services.